Welcome to the Quality Edge, where smarter quality strategies become your business advantage.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris Nahil. Welcome to the Quality Edge. Today, we're digging into the results of ETQ's annual Pulse of Quality in Manufacturing survey. Every year, we talk with quality professionals across the U.S., Germany, and the U.K. to get a read on the biggest challenges and opportunities facing manufacturers today. The 2025 survey revealed some fascinating and perhaps a little daunting insights around workforce shortages, product recalls, the rise of AI in manufacturing, and how companies are thinking about investing in quality. And who better to unpack it all with me than ETQ's CEO, Vic Vishnavi. Vic has been leading ETQ through a period of incredible change, and he's got a front row seat to how manufacturers are adapting in this environment. Vic, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be here.
Before we get right into the survey findings, let's start with some of the basics. Vic, who did we survey this year, and what makes this survey unique in the marketplace?
Well, we surveyed about 750 quality professionals across the United States and Europe. You know, we wanted to discover the trends, issues, and the challenges that they face daily. They came from a range of industries like heavy manufacturing, electronics, appliances, medical devices, pharmaceuticals, life sciences, food and beverage, chemicals, agrosciences, logistics, distribution, transportation, automotive, defense, consumer goods, and just regular manufacturing as well.
Vic, were these ETQ customers only, or was it a cross-section?
It was a cross-section.
When we look at key takeaways from the survey, four themes really stand out. The ongoing manufacturing labor shortage, the rise in product recalls, the growing role of artificial intelligence, and increased investment in quality. Before we dig deeper into the survey results, what's your big picture reaction to these findings, Vic?
Well, I think since the uniqueness was we surveyed different roles across the manufacturing ecosystem from, you know, what we would describe as a shop floor to top floor, it's a genuine snapshot of what's happening in quality today from the people who are not just engaged in delivering quality on a daily basis, but are actually the key wheels in driving quality across all kinds of manufacturing around the globe.
All right, let's start with the first takeaway, the manufacturing labor shortage. Of the people we surveyed, 70% of the respondents said that their company had been impacted by the labor shortage. And of that 70%, 88% said it had directly affected product quality. Why do you think of the labor shortage is so directly tied to product quality?
Well, I think, first of all, Chris, if you think about, there's a huge population of manufacturing labor pool that's kind of getting ready to retire or has retired or is in the middle of getting ready to retire. So you're seeing a loss of experience, first and foremost. There's also an inordinate amount of knowledge transfer that has to happen and the inability to do so properly without kind of having a proper training curriculum, safety concerns, all are contributing to, you know, skill shortage that are impacting quality.
Do you see technology as a bridge here? I mean, how can things like connected worker solutions or AI help companies close the workforce gap?
Sure, it can. There is a whole segment of technology, most commonly known as connected worker technology, predominantly dealing with empowering those who are on the shop floor with being able to participate in the manufacturing value chain, not just in observing quality, but also participating in improvement of it, you know, end to end. AI, you know, certainly is the job aid in that sense, in terms of providing people just-in-time training, tracking versus a just-in-case training, which most people will kind of forget if they're trained once. In order to develop muscle memory, AI can certainly allow on the shop floor and supplement also what connected worker technology allows you to do, not just in terms of automating situational awareness, safety concerns, but also just on the spot, very precision-guided training on a specific topic that the new worker may be struggling with. You know, if it is a new worker or somebody who's new to the manufacturing process or the equipment involved, those kinds of areas are completely can be addressed by technology to close the gap. Absolutely.
And the younger generation of workers learn differently, true. A lot of these, the sort of newer workers will eventually have grown up with AI or grown up with technology, too. That must provide some sort of additional avenue into closing the gap.
It does. I think if you think about it as mobile first, you know, all the new generation workers are mobile first. And if you can think of, you know, training and enablement in your palm, practically on your mobile device. AI can certainly help there, but in terms of technology that empowers you to kind of learn on the job in real time, that's the power of connected worker technology and supplemented by AI.
Let's talk about a little bit about the product recalls. We surveyed folks last year. Product recalls were up last year. They're up again this year. They continue to rise. Surveys showed that 75% of the companies that we surveyed had experienced a recall in the last 5 years. I mean, as you know, the cost to remediate these surveys is massive, often tens of millions of dollars. And the numbers actually to remediate in the UK and Germany were similar. These are big, big investments when things go wrong recall-wise. So, Vic, why do you think this is happening? Why do recalls continue to rise?
Think about the world we live in now today, Chris. Notwithstanding the global tariff environment that we are all finding ourselves in, you also have increased regulatory and consumer scrutiny. You know, people want better quality products, especially if they have to pay a lot more for it in the new world. There's a lot of global communications that are much faster than what they might be few, even just a decade back, right? So think about social media. How quickly does it take to go viral on consumers kind of, you know, providing a poor review on certain products? So information travels fast and, you know, bad reviews travel faster. You certainly have supply chain disruptions. You know, we obviously had the whole pandemic contributing to it. But then if you think about in terms of material shortage in certain parts of the world, resistance to tariff kind of disrupting it, and you're now talking about supply chain disruptions, you know, not to mention that we have different parts of the world that are seeing conflicts, and that certainly has disruption on supply chain. So if you add regulatory scrutiny, consumer scrutiny, tariff environments, global communications, social media propagation of reviews, and supply chain disruptions, the chances are you're going to probably see somewhere a product or a set of products kind of not meeting a certain criteria, whether they're regulatory or consumer, and hence they're going to have to go on a recall. It's just the logical conclusion is you will see recalls going up.
It's an environment with a lot of risk involved.
Yeah, and uncertainty.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. With that, with the level of uncertainty and the level of risk and the certainly financial damage, still companies aren't taking super aggressive action here. What do you think the overall cost, dollars and cents aside, the overall cost of inaction here when it comes to recalls can come to for companies around the world?
Well, see, the issue, if you think about companies not taking enough action or no action to protect their business, most folks try to think of quality as a compliance-only need. Right? Hey, I have to do quality because the regulator is going to check on me. So if anybody looks at quality as a compliance-only lens, that's very short-sighted. That lens is no better than your reading glasses in some ways. It just, you know, underscores a very shallow understanding of the cost of inaction. You know, not realizing that investing in quality can help you actually boost your revenue and reputation. You know, how often do you hear, even as consumers, you know, word of mouth spreading around, hey, I bought a great product and the quality is phenomenal. Just that mindset alone allows you to charge a premium because it's hard for your competition to replicate quality at that point because a lot goes into it. But if you're going to be only saying, hey, I want to do quality just enough so I can pass a compliance test, well, guess what? Sooner or later, between recalls, supply chain disruptions, not investing enough in quality and cost of poor quality rising, you're going to see an impact on your top line. And you may wonder, like, why did that happen? You know, I have good enough quality and a good enough reputation, but I'm not seeing any revenue go up. Well, it's because those who actually are investing in higher grade quality are having a better reputation than you, and the consumer is willing, and the customer is willing to pay a premium for that versus your product, which is, you know, just good enough. And so you kind of start to see that impact your revenue and reputation. So the root cause of that is you've not expanded or opened up the aperture or expanded the aperture of where quality can be a strategic advantage for you versus just a tactical necessity.
Too many people still treating quality as a checklist item, right? As you said, rather than a strategy for business development. Interesting. Survey talked a lot about artificial intelligence and what manufacturers and quality pros are doing with AI these days. Is AI Also, one of the items that can help strengthen quality and strengthen safety, there were more than a third of the companies who were surveyed said that they are currently using AI already. And nearly half of those folks said to plan to deploy it within the next 2 years. And if I were guessing, I would say that timeline would be accelerated, frankly, just by what's happening in the market. So where do you think the most impactful areas for artificial intelligence and quality, safety and manufacturing are today?
When we think about artificial intelligence, the most important thing to recognize is AI can accomplish is to automate things, you know, automate certain core processes, right? That's one area. There's the power of automation, which gives you scale. Right. And so it's not just the size of impact, it's the scale of impact that you're having boosted by AI. The other area essentially is, you know, an area that's growing big time, both in interest and in terms of customer appetite, is predictive analytics, which is, can I stop a quality problem before they actually become a crisis for me? Can I detect anomalies in my production lines that tells me I'm likely going to be shipping a product or products that are going to see recalls, because it's much cheaper for me to fix it before it leaves my shop floor or my manufacturing facility than after it hits the market and I have to go through a recall, because now I have a bad reputation, customers are upset, and I have bad press, you know, to deal with. So AI can kind of help you in predicting quality problems before they happen. So you can take remedial action. You can also use, as I said earlier, from a automation perspective, you can use things like agentic AI to automate your workflows and different processes related to quality, whether it's inspection or CAPAs or reporting and stuff like that. And then in terms of other areas where it can save you more time is really around, you know, regulatory update conformance, you know, conformance reports, you know, speeding up reporting and analytics around compliance and regulatory checks and audits. That is just time savings for you at the end of the day, which essentially means faster time to market. And if you put analytics on it, which means you're bringing products to the market faster, but also with almost a protective layer that ensures that they are likely not to see a quality problem after they leave your facility or your manufacturing area. So AI has a lot of use cases in terms of where AI can bolster quality and then even safety. You know, another area from prediction might be, you know, checking the state of different facilities and be able to predict if there's a safety concern happening. You know, if there's a particular equipment on the floor that is continuing to see as a key contributor to quality problems, hey, maybe there's a problem with, you know, as simple as saying you haven't done the oil change properly on a particular machine, so it keeps leaking. And by the way, not just the fact that it's actually contributing to quality problems that are manifesting in your product, it could also be a safety hazard for those who are working and interacting with that machinery. These are the kind of things where AI can say, hey, listen, I'm noticing a trend that particular machine always seems to have trouble. Hey, maybe it's time you either replace it or take a look at it.
It's interesting. So like, you know, AI is this whizzy new thing, but in the last like 3 minutes, we've already identified like where it can have an impact right now. You know, it's not the space age stuff. It can impact safety. It can impact training. It can help with that recall problem. You know, it can help to shorten training cycles with new product introduction, the whole thing. It's no wonder that companies are planning on investing more in quality and AI going forward. It's, you can see the immediate impact. And as I said, it's not the space age stuff. It's stuff that can have an impact today. We did actually talk to the respondents about where they're going to invest money in quality in the next year. And 60% of them said that they were going to increase their quality spend in 2025. Now, of that, we don't know how much is going to be related to AI, but if I was a guessing man, it would be a significant amount. But that's a significant number who are planning to increase. Other than, in addition to AI, what else do you think might be driving some of that interest in increasing the investment in quality spend?
If you think about the top three drivers for why companies are investing in quality, you know, increasing revenue comes out on top, right? Like I said earlier, you know, quality products move to the market faster than competition, and it allows you to command a premium price. You can get ahead in terms of brand reputation. And if you have if you develop a strong brand reputation, which means your customer loyalty goes up, which by definition means repeat business or repeat sales go up, A repeat sale with a loyal customer means shorter sales cycle, which means your revenue is rising faster, right? It's not taking a traditional sales cycle. It's much faster. Easier compliance essentially means you're not going to have penalties or punitive actions from regulatory authorities, whether it's an FDA finding or a fine or a punitive audit that happens that consumes a lot of expenses and fines. And if you're improving quality, a byproduct of it is lower scrap, lower rework costs, lower warranty costs. And that goes straight to your bottom line and improves your profitability. So, you know, when you think about on the top, increased revenue is absolutely the one that is the primary driver for why people are investing in quality. Besides compliance and, you know, obviously strengthening your supply chain, but those are the top three from what we've seen.
What do you think delivers the fastest ROI of those?
Well, I think, you know, where else we can get the most immediate value, I think one is employee engagement, right? So if you have a employee engagement on value-added work rather than, hey, just basic mundane day-to-day quality workflows, employees feel better engaged, you're seeing better employee satisfaction. Use of quality data across the enterprise, like goes back to the AI and the predictive analytics, allows you to now make better business decisions, which means you can now free up cycles to say, hey, what are some of the new products we should be thinking about? Not just how do I fix the one that just had a recall yesterday? You know, so it's a completely different mindset in terms of how you're running the business. And you're not at this point reacting to the market, but you're kind of driving the market. And by definition, if you're in the driver's seat, you control the direction in which your vehicle is headed, your business is headed.
Great stuff. Vic, we're about to wrap up this episode. Any other last thoughts you'd like to leave the audience with?
The most important thing I would say that we have learned from the survey, also from our customers, is look at quality and invest in it as a strategic business advantage, as a business differentiator. You know, don't think of it as a tactical necessity or just a compliance check in the box, as you said it, Chris, earlier. If you take that mindset of looking at it as a strategic advantage, it'll pay for itself, you know, multiples over and above what your investments are. And we have customers who have done it. The survey kind of proved it. And quite frankly, you know, as a vendor, as a software company that is involved in this, we see it in the market every single day. For those who are leading brands in the market, they invest in quality as a strategic advantage. That's the one thing I would say.
Great stuff. Led by the quality champions. Vic, thanks very much for your time today, and I appreciate your insight and opinion on the survey results. I hope it's helpful to the folks who are listening in. That brings us to the end of today's episode of The Quality Edge. I want to thank our guest, Vic Vaishnavi, for sharing his insights into the 2025 Pulse of Quality in Manufacturing survey. We learned that the workforce shortage is creating real risks for quality, why recalls are still rising despite huge costs, how artificial intelligence is moving from hype to practical applications, and why investing in quality is no longer optional. It's a growth strategy. If you'd like to dig deeper, you can download the full survey report at etq.com. And of course, if you enjoyed this conversation, please subscribe, rate, and share The Quality Edge wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I'm Chris Nahil, reminding you to lead with quality and transform your business.